The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
Hey, folks, it's Jim Hansen, and we are having a magnificent show. We were just talking about the deep state and how we get our team up and armored for taking them on. I want to talk about some things the deep state got caught doing that are going to help us to point out to America that we cannot have a permanent bureaucracy that has its own agenda thinking they run this country. They are not. The whole idea of being a civil servant is that you serve the civilians, not in government, who elect the people who are there to govern. Well, unfortunately for us, the deep state has another agenda, and it is the woke agenda. It is the leftist, socialist, garbage agenda. And they are doing a tremendous job, as we talked about, you know, last segment, of stopping our team from being able to implement policies when we're in power. But even when we're not, they attack, they make sure that their message is the only one that gets out, that their policies are the only ones that go. And one of the prime examples of how they, in the permanent bureaucracy in the deep state, go ahead and conspire with the media, the social media tech tyrants, and the political operatives on the left to make sure that the American people don't get a fair view of our information space, and in this case, a fair chance to evaluate candidates for an election. This was the Hunter Biden laptop story, and how they went ahead in the 2020 election and during the run-up, the October surprise, which the Hunter Biden laptop story was, they went ahead and censored that. They lied about it, and they literally ran a disinformation campaign against the American public, saying that the information on that laptop was Russian disinformation, which is painfully and should be criminally ironic. Well, it turns out we may have an opportunity to go ahead and hold some people accountable. Now, I understand all of you rightfully just said, oh, it'll never happen. And I wish I could say you're not right. All right. But we're going to try. And every time we do this, every time we expose it, every time we show that this conspiracy and this collusion between the deep state, the media, and the tech tyrants and the Democrat left is happening, we're that much closer to stopping their ability to do it. So as it turns out, Senator Grassley released some information that they have whistleblowers from the FBI, which is what we need because that's where the dirt is happening, who saw an agent named Timothy Tebow in that agency falsely putting information into their system to kill the Hunter Biden laptop investigation so that it wouldn't sink Joe Biden's campaign as it should have. If the American people had known about that, it's very likely that the outcome of the 2020 election would have been different. But they didn't, because the tech companies censored it. Facebook and Twitter shut down the New York Post's account. You know, all of the major media outlets called it a hacked information or stolen, or they called it Russian disinformation based on invented lies from a bunch of former intelligence weasels who wrote a letter claiming it was Russian disinformation. All of that was a conspiracy to influence a U.S. election, and sadly, it worked. And that's something we can't tolerate. Now, I mentioned to Seb when I was here before, my company is working on using artificial intelligence to track all of those connections, to connect the dots, to take the people who did the malfeasance in government, to take the media people who censored it, to take the Democrat political operatives who puppeteered the whole thing, and to show the American people what was done to them in October of 2020 so that they can't do it again in October of 2022 or 2024 or ever going forward. So now we're going to take the information that Senator Grassley's people have, and we're going to input that into the AI, and we're going to connect some more dots. And guess what? We're going to cause some pain. We're going to help the oversight committees in Congress, all the people who are going to be doing investigations and hearings. We're giving this information to them, and we'll give it to you. And we're going to shut these people down. They're not going to do this to us again. I want to hear what you people have to say about this. Open up the phone lines, 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. Or if you're in the Rumble chat watching the stream, drop a question in. They will put it in my ear. Let's talk about this, because I want payback, because payback is a digital medevac, and we're going to get them. This is Jim Hansen. I am sitting in Dr. G's chair, and we'll be back after the break to basically dig as deep in as we can to this conspiracy to disinform the American public.
This is America First, and I'm delighted to welcome our special guest host, Jim Hansen.
Hey, folks, I am glad to be Seb's special guest host while he is busy planning the return of the free world. I want to talk about our show sponsor, Carr Firearms, because they have a magnificent auto ordnance custom Rally Cry 1911 as a new product for 2022, and it can be ordered through any gun store nationwide. Shipments on that are beginning in December, and this is a beautiful Trump-oriented and magnificently engraved piece of gun art. Tremendous weapon and tremendous piece of art, so I think you should get one. I'm going to find out what I need to do to get my own. Now, I want to get back to something that is kind of the fun. Our team has stopped kind of kowtowing and being submissive and saying, oh, we can't do anything because we don't have control, and we can't fight back against the left and the deep state because they have control of you know, the government and the agencies and these kind of things. Because we can. And I want to give kudos to Governor Abbott and Governor Ducey, Texas and Arizona, for doing something truly creative, and get ready with the Muriel Bowser clip. They have been making our nation's capital feel the pain of illegal migration that their citizens have been feeling for decades. They've been sending their illegal migrants to Mayor Bowser and D.C., and all of a sudden she's whining about it. Let's hear what she's got to say.
We are very focused, and we continue to be very focused on having the federal government do its part and take the lead in addressing what we see as a growing humanitarian crisis with people who are seeking asylum, coming across the country to get to their final destinations. And we're going to continue to pursue federal involvement. We've facilitated using those grant funds to set up respite center in a neighboring jurisdiction. And I've also asked the Secretary of the Army to deploy the D.C. National Guard to help lead that effort.
The what? The D.C. National Guard? Are you kidding me, Muriel? Come on now. Oh, we didn't need that. when we're going to have, you know, the Capitol protests or anything like that. No, no, no. Let's not do anything then. But now that you have to deal with the same problems that Texas and Arizona have been dealing with for decades, all of a sudden you want the National Guard to take the heat off you. I don't think so. I don't have any interest in being mean to the people who our horrendous policies are letting into this country. All right. Who can blame them? If I was living in a crap hole country and the greatest place on the planet was in walking distance, a long walk, but still walking distance, and I could get there and get everything that their citizens get just for showing up, break their laws, get in. In most cases, they're lying about their asylum claim. They don't meet the actual rules that you have to be given asylum in this country. But they're being trained now before they cross the border by leftist NGOs in partnership with those same people who are setting the bad immigration policies. And they get told what to say. So if you know what to say in your asylum hearing, and you can get from anywhere on the planet, apparently, and get to our southern border, you're in. You might as well be an American. You know, they were calling them new Americans for a while, was the term they wanted to use. Well, if they're new Americans, that's unfair to everyone who went through the actual process to become a new American through legal immigration. Garbage asylum claims and illegal immigrants do not deserve the same, you know, values and all of the entitlements that someone who comes here through legal means or someone who's born here and is a citizen get and deserve. Yet that's what we're having. So I want to applaud Governor Ducey and Governor Abbott for letting Mayor Muriel Bowser feel a little bit of the pain that her leftist confederates in the Congress and in the Biden administration have made all of us feel. And it's not just the border states. The border states bear the brunt. But this really points out that when you start letting all of these illegal immigrants into the country and you have no restrictions in any meaningful way, an expectation that they're going to come back for some mythical hearing down the road, you essentially have an open borders policy. And I'm sorry, that's not something that a civilized nation that wants to remain a nation state by any reasonable definition of that can afford to have. So the way to fix that is to let the rest of them feel the pain. You know, and hey, I think as soon as, you know, maybe we need to set up some refugee camps in Chevy Chase, Maryland, or someplace where the rich leftists live. You know, my neighborhood in Arlington, Virginia is chock full of blue state losers. Yeah. Oh, they love me. I got a Sprinter van, and on the back of it, you know, they have those stickers where you have their family, mom, dad, and then the kids. I've got the gun version of that, right, where it's got the sniper rifle, then a nice assault rifle, you know, shotgun, pistols all the way down the back. That's on the back of my Sprinter van, which faces the sidewalk. So it's kind of funny because leftists like those Sprinters because they think it's a little camping, little eco van thing. No, it's not. Because they walk by, they look at it, they're all interested. And then I watch them. And when we get to the back of it and they see that gun sticker, they're like, oh, they're all outraged. Wah. Well, guess what? More. We need to make them uncomfortable. So any place, any way you can go ahead and let the leftists feel the results of their policies and what life under Democrat rule actually is, I'm all for it. You know, because we have a great comparison and contrast to make. Look at the cities in this country. All of our major cities have essentially, most of them have been under Democrat rule for decades. Some of them 50, 60 years since there's been any kind of Republican leadership. And what do they all have in common? They are horrible places to live. The services suck. Crime is everywhere. They're crowded. They're stupid. Everything about them is a miserable place to live. You know, unless you're the highly elite information worker class, and then the, you know, the rich folks who don't live in those neighborhoods where everyone else has to deal with. But if you're middle class or working class and you live in a city that's been under Democrat rule, you live in a crap hole. And in a lot of cases like San Francisco, literally a crap hole. And I think the more we point out that, hey, if that's how you want to live, vote Democrat. You know, do it again. Vote again for Muriel Bowser if you want D.C. to continue to suck. If you like carjackings, if you like shootings, if you like horrible quality of life, vote Democrat. And then you got the contrast. Oh, what about Florida? What about Governor DeSantis? You know, I mean, they may have some Democrats running things in their cities, but overall, the state has pushed so much of their stupidity into irrelevance that they can't do mask mandates or COVID mandates, vaccine mandates. You know, they can't do the things that they've been doing that make lives miserable for everybody else across the country. So Florida, Texas, you know, Tennessee, places like that, where we can show this is what life under Republican rule is, you know, this freedom and prosperity and security and individual liberty feels like. Or you can live in D.C. or New York or Chicago or San Francisco, and you can step over junkies. You can stub your toe on needles. You know, you can have squeegee guys beating the crap out of you. You can have, you know, people on the subway beating you. You can get shot. You can get robbed. You can get carjacked. Your life could suck too. There's the Democrat campaign commercial. You know, we don't have to make it. You just turn on the cameras in any Democrat city and show daily life, and guess what? I wouldn't want to live there. You couldn't make me live there. You know, I live in one of the bluest places in the country, Arlington County, Virginia, but I happen to have a very nice quality of life because I have rich leftists living around me who make sure that nothing bad can come in our neighborhood. But you go just down the road, there was a carjacking a mile from my house at a gas station just 2 weeks ago. Armed carjacking, broad daylight. About 2-3 weeks before that, there was an armed carjacking, didn't go quite as well. And those scumbags got shot. Well, guess what? I prefer the type of rule that allows people like us to have our individual liberty and rights, carry guns, keep ourselves safe, and live well. If you like crap holes, vote Democrat. This is Jim Hansen. We will be back after the break with a little bit more America First Radio. We're going to have Ned Ryan, the CEO of American Majority, on, and he's going to talk to us about the censorship people tried to throw on him for telling the truth about the monkeypox.
Welcome back to America First with our very special guest, Uncle Jimbo. It's Jim Hansen.
Glad to be sitting in for Seb, and we've been having a rockin' Friday on America First Radio. We're going to have a little bit of fun right now. My good buddy Ned Ryan, CEO of American Majority, was on with former VJ Kennedy on Fox Business and was telling some painful truth about monkeypox, and all of a sudden the rest of the panel just went spastic. I think, why don't we roll the clip and just see this entertaining display?
As for monkeypox, I think there's a pretty good rule in life. Don't attend gay orgies. When you look at the New England Journal's report of the 520 orgies,
don't attend gay orgies if you don't want to get monkeypox, which 98% of the people at this point who got monkeypox got it from having unprotected gay sex with multiple partners. So it seems like common sense advice to me, but let's bring Ned in and see where this outrageous statement he make actually came from. Ned, what in the world were you thinking telling the truth about monkeypox on television?
You know, the fact of the matter is it's all science, facts, and data, Jim. I think that's the thing that probably caught me a little by surprise. Of course, you know, you compress all of the WHO and the CDC guidelines into essentially don't attend gay orgies. Essentially don't attend gay orgies for 15 days to slow the spread. And say that, I think I actually was honestly a little surprised to be called a bigot for actually stating science and data and facts. But they had, if you'll notice in the clip later on, they agreed with 95% of what I said. I mean, it's irrefutable. You cannot escape the fact that most of this, per studies, per the facts, 95% has come from gay sex. 98% of those affected have been gay men. That it's really hard to refute the facts. But, you know, Jim, I think it's kind of a sad commentary just on our society writ large that it feels like we've taken common sense into the public arena, shot it to death, and bludgeoned it to death. I want nothing to do with it. You actually have to speak the truth to have at least some moral clarity in this country, because we're not doing this again. We are not doing another pandemic, another lockdown, all of this stuff, and you got to nip it in the bud as quickly as possible.
And that literally is how you stop it. I mean, when you've got a situation where you've got voluntary behavior, you know, you look at COVID, people aren't doing something that is dangerous and voluntary in order to get COVID. You know, they didn't have that choice. If you had to go to work, if you had to be in public, you were going to get exposed to COVID. Attending a gay orgy or having, you know, gay sex with multiple unprotected partners is a personal choice that you can decide not to make. And so there you are telling that simple fact. And I think, again, we can go ahead and leap from gay orgies to censorship of common sense, which is what they actually attacked you for. You broke actually a woke, politically correct guideline, and you said something negative about gay people, and that's what they attacked you for.
Yeah, it really was, which again is a shame that you speak the truth based off the facts and the science and the data, and you get attacked for being a bigot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jim, I mean, the fact of the matter is, when you look at what some of these people are reporting on Twitter, the orgies, I'm going to edit the comments, but 15 to 20 sexual encounters at an event, including drinking human waste. This is pretty egregious stuff that, quite frankly, the rest of society does not have to pay for wildly irresponsible behavior. And so all that's required of us is to actually speak the truth and say, no, I don't think so. We're not going to do this. And you know, if you want to call me a bigot, that's fine. But I guess science is bigoted.
Yeah, and here's what really I thought was pathetically offensive. You got Brad Palumbo on there. He's a gay guy. All right, and right. I have zero problem with gay dudes. I know plenty of them. I have friends of them. I wear shirts that I get compliments on from gay dudes because I dress that way. You know, and that's not anything. It's just a thing. But what happened was the vast majority of gay people who are acting responsibly, and then you've got a minority who are irresponsible sexually and are causing the problem. Why would you be a responsible gay man and then stand up for people who are putting everybody in society at risk?
That again struck me after I watched that clip, because after I got off, I'm like, there was kind of like, what just happened there? But as I thought, you know, if they really care, if Kennedy and Marie Harf and Brad cared about the gay community, they would actually speak truth to them and say, what you're doing, your behavior is destructive for you specifically. Mm-hmm. Right. This is where this is really affecting a lot of you because of your behavior. We need to actually address this, and you need to address your behavior. But instead, they wanted to attack somebody who was speaking the truth. But, you know, to his credit, too, I don't know if you saw Guy Benson at Town Hall, mm-hmm. His article today on this entire situation. He knows all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Kennedy married him. He's gay. He knows Marie Harf, used to do a radio show with her, knows Brad. And he was actually very fair on what took place Tuesday night on that hit, in which he said, you know, he quibbled a little bit with maybe some of my style, but he's like, it's bigotry. Common sense is not bigotry. And what Ned was saying was common sense.
And that's what we need more of. You know, I think it's the idea that there are victim groups that cannot be. You can't say anything bad about gay people. You can't say anything bad about trans people. You can't say about black people. You know, wrong. That's stupid. And that's actually unhelpful to those groups because it doesn't hold them accountable like everyone should be held accountable when they do stupid things. And it's not about saying, oh, well, you're bad for doing that because you're gay. No, you're bad for doing that because it's dangerous to society and yourself.
Well, and it does show where we're at overall, Jim, as a society, a mature, responsible society that wants to make rational decisions would be saying these things that I was saying, but on a larger scale. But instead, what we've devolved to is, well, you hurt somebody's feelings, so therefore you can't actually say that because it would hurt their feelings. But that's a wildly irrational, immature society, which also has implications on a host of other issues. But we need to get back to where we can have rational conversations and say, this is what's good for society and for culture, and I'm sorry if you're offended, but these are the facts.
And, you know, we knew you were going to do that, you know, because it was a danger. You know, you took one for the team to go ahead and speak up in a way, and it was not out of any anti-gay animus. It was out of what you just said. It was about the fact that we have to be able to speak truth.
Here's another point, though, that people need to understand, and you know this, Jim, because you've done Fox Hits. You have to send in talking points.
Mm-hmm.
I sent in talking points. Including in those talking points were one of my rules for life. Don't want to get monkeypox. Don't attend gay orgy. Those were in my talking points. Almost 4 hours before the show. There were no surprises. Okay. So this was known. I sent them in and still got the reaction, but.
Faux outrage is faux outrage. Well, hey, we got to take a quick break, Ned, but I got a couple more questions that, yep, thankfully do not involve gay orgies. So stick with us through the break. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Dr. G. We will be back with the gay orgy free segments of America First Radio. Hey, folks, it is Jim Hansen. I'm sitting in for Dr. G, who is off at a secure, undisclosed location, plotting the restoration of the Republic, I've heard. But hey, we are going to talk about the things that are going right and wrong with our current Republic. And one of the biggest problems we have right now is the deep state seems to believe that irregardless of who is in political power or who is sitting in the seats of our executive agencies, the White House, that they are the ones who should actually control what's going on. And there's been a lot of interesting information coming out this week about the bad things they've been doing in their pursuit of their own goals, as opposed to their jobs to do the bidding of the American people. So we're going to dig into some of that dirt about the Hunter Biden investigation, how the CDC was conspiring with the tech companies to go ahead and censor and basically become the thought police and ministry of truth for our public on COVID. But I want to bring in right now a gentleman who is doing something good for our team, and I think that is vital. We have with us today in studio Andrew Kloster, who is general counsel for Personnel Policy Operations, which is a new organization designed to take care of our people who serve in the government, as you did. And welcome to studio.
Thanks for having me, Jim. First time here.
it's a great place, and I think it's fantastic to see that we're actually feeding, watering, and protecting our team during the out years. Because if we don't do it then, obviously we have to do it when we're in power and they're under attack and those things are going on. But you've started this organization and are working with a lot of good people, formerly from the White House, et cetera, who are now going to make sure that our people are ready to go back in. Tell us a little bit about it, man.
Yeah, so our new org is the Personnel Policy Operations Organization, or Personnel Policy Operations. Our website is personnelpolicyops.org. So it's a C3, you know, we've applied for our status. It's brand new, and, you know, the leadership is myself and a number of other folks that were, you know, in the White House. And the acronym PPO, by the way, is obviously an homage to the White House Personnel Office, where I served under John McEntee in the last year of the Trump admin, and a number of other staff from that office are involved. So the point of the org, the mission is to educate and defend conservative and America First civil servants and their outside advisors. And really what we're looking to do, you know, and we're connected with the whole movement, mm-hmm, with Heritage, with AFPI, with CPI, with all these other groups, to basically help coordinate and navigate the needs of our people outside and to plan for the next sort of conservative administration, however that looks. You know, when we came in 2016, there were a lot of blockages and they invented a lot of junk, and COVID hit and there was a lapse in appropriations. And at the end of the day, a lot of these careers really didn't serve under a Trump admin, and a lot of policy was blocked and blocked by our own people too. So our hope is to help facilitate with a number of our most senior and operators to kind of facilitate what we need to do on defense in the out years, the transition, and then execution and implementation.
Be ready to fight on day one. And I think one of the things an organization like yours can do is help recruit the talent we need. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got people who have been in the game and who are going to come back in and who now are blooded, mm-hmm. you know, from at least one run at this and have been, I hope, you know, angered by the way this is all gone down. But that also stops people, good people,
yes.
that we need
yes.
in the fight. And I guess the hope is now that if they know you guys have their back, we can get the people we need to beat down the deep state.
Yeah, that's one of the number one things. I mean, who would want to be an elector? I mean, you know, my grandmother was a longtime poll worker, you know, in Chicago and Cook County and on the Republican side.
Wow, that's okay. An uphill battle.
All right, yeah, I know. So, you know, and I've talked with, you know, people who knew her and worked with her. And then I was up in Wisconsin, you know, working the election. And that's another story in and of itself back in 2020. And then I worked with Justice Gableman on that investigation. So, you know, who would want to be an elector? Who would want to be a local, just grandma? Right. Who would want to be grandma, a clerk, a volunteer, if they think that the next day the FBI or the state police in Michigan or whatever are going to be knocking down their door? So our hope is to give people some comfort, mm-hmm. But also way more senior people as well. I mean, right. if you look at what's happened to Jeff Clark, if you look at what's happened to all of these people who have been subpoenaed up and down the chain for pure politics, it exposes. I mean, I myself in Wisconsin had a frivolous bar complaint filed against me that was dismissed. But this is what they do. And so, who would want to get involved? Who would want to be on the battlefield? Their goal really is to increase risk on our people, prevent us from even looking. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a woman in Wisconsin who's a lawyer, and you know, she's you know, we had this great ruling by the Supreme Court on absentee ballots, and so she goes to kind of hope that that's being enforced. And then says, hey, it looks like that guy's bringing in four or five absentee ballots. That's not right. And, you know, months later, she has something sort of filed against her, you know, so with sight unseen. So they're really trying to knock our heads off, and we do have to protect our people.
And your goal is to both bring in good people, because now there is somebody watching their back, train them what they need to do, how to bulletproof your own life. I've done that. Mm-hmm. You know, I had lawyers look at all of our background, went through our taxes, did everything to make sure that because we're coming out and attacking some vested interests,
yes.
we know the fire's going to be incoming.
Yes.
Right. But I've been doing that for a long time. I kind of used to it. It's the people who haven't and aren't used to the vitriolic attacks, the abuse of state power, you know, all of the things the left's going to do. And you guys kind of are working on a toolkit for our team and the resources
right.
to be able to take care of them.
Right. And I should be clear. I mean, we're very blessed. You know, I was out of the Trump admin briefly when I was at the Scalia Law School in between my tours of duty. And I was at a bunch of agencies. And I remember working with another senior guy, I'm not going to mention, who was thinking about, like, what should we be doing now? And this was like 2019. And you know, it really felt to me, you got to think about what the timing is. And it's like, well, at that point in time, we needed to coordinate. We're kind of in a coordination mode. At this point, the point of our organization, we're trying to minimize downside risk. So it's coordination, it's kind of mobilization and like preserving your downside. And then soon it's going to be offense. And we've got offensive plans as well. But I guess we're coordinating with everybody.
Yeah. I want some people on the other side to be offended.
Well, yeah, I mean, all this bar complaints and all of this stuff, I think, should be on the table, because that's certainly what they do to us.
And to be, you know, perfectly frank, we've watched as they've violated, you know, and you talk about Wisconsin. What about the violations by the election officials there and all of the things they did, flagrantly ignoring state law and giving out advice that they knew was in violation of that? But they're like, what are you going to do to me?
Absolutely.
You know, so you guys now could potentially be the bat to, mm-hmm. to go ahead and say, hey, there are consequences
Correct.
For cheating in our elections.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, a word on Wisconsin, you know, I'm not from Wisconsin. I have family up there in Green Bay, and it was an uphill battle even to volunteer. I'm sure a lot of people had that experience. Like, you sign up on a list, you know, they get your email, they want you to pay money, you know, the campaigns, But then when you actually are saying, beating, like, I want to do volunteering, it's hard. So it was hard for me to get into Wisconsin. I was the only Trump attorney in Brown County on election day, and I don't know what's going on. And I get this little kind of weasel kicked out of the election site, and that was Michael Spitzer Rubenstein. I didn't know who he was at the time, but come to find out, he's like a field marshal for the left. And then it kicks off this whole investigation with Janelle Branson, with Justice Gableman. I go back and help him with that. But I guess what I'm saying is I was not trained. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. All I had was my instincts that this person's violating some sort of process. It's just the clerks are complaining. Grandma's complaining. She's like, I've done it this way for 40 years, and this guy's coming in and doing X, Y, and Z. Can you do something about it? So I did something about it. But if I had the tools at the time, I probably could have been a lot more effective, because it's, especially with elections, it's the same way in pretty much every one of our 50 states. You know, if you don't stop it on the site, you're not going to stop it after the fact. Right. We didn't stop it on the site. We kind of got data, and then we want to get more data, but we're obviously being blocked. What you need is a toolkit to do stuff on the site to protect the people in the time before.
Get them
so the
before
status
they seal the deal. Exactly. Hey, this is Jim Hansen sitting in for Seb. We're talking with Andrew Kloster, who's going to be back with us after the break, because there are some interesting things. I heard he's part of this shadowy cabal that's going to implement Schedule F, that's going to take all of the good people out of government and replace them with evil conservatives. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to America First with our very special guest, Uncle Jimbo. It's Jim Hansen.
It is Jim Hansen. And thanks, Dr. G, for the lovely intro. I'm back again with Andrew Kloster, who is General Counsel for Personnel Policy Operations. The people who are making sure our people on the inside of the government are not crushed and destroyed and taken down by both the deep state insiders and also all of the organs of the left that go ahead and attack our people. I want to talk about, though, there was this lovely article in Axios that I pinged you right after I saw it and saw your name as one of the co-conspirators of this evil cabal that is trying to do this horrible thing where you take these wonderful government people who have dedicated their life to sweetness, light, and the milk of human kindness, and you give the right to move them out because they're the ones who are shutting down our administration's ability to operate. What is Schedule F?
So I don't even know where to begin. Our government, you know, used to be very, very small. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first department was the State Department, and there was fee for service, and there were no salaried employees, really, or very, very few. With the growth of the government, we had a growth of permanent bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you recall Tammany Hall, there was a reaction against that. We have progressive Republicans come in, and they think we really need to have expert management. You know, Wilson was a part of this. Expert management, independence from political control. This shouldn't all be just patronage, blah, blah, blah. So they had the Pendleton Act, and we have this whole history of giving government employees additional protections. But, but always at the back of that, there were a couple classes of people who were not protected at all. Mm-hmm. Those would have been attorneys, highly sensitive, critical positions, and policymakers. It's only relatively recently that we start treating these people who do policy as if they should be unionized. And I have nothing, I'm very pro-union, and even the government unions are not the worst thing in the world. But honestly, my own view, and I think the view of the last administration and the president, were that there needs to be some political accountability. I mean,
the new administration could come in and they replace the heads of the agencies and like one, maybe two echelons down, but it's that next group of people who are there permanently, who are very senior and who are actually, you know, involved in not just implementing policy, but they make the policy because they're the only ones who understand it.
Right.
And what this basically is doing is giving a new administration like our team a chance to take all of these people who 95% disagree with us, and a decent percentage of them obstruct what we're trying to do, and be able to replace them with people who will actually implement the president's policies.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had a number of good careers. I still talk with current and past agency heads and careers. There are very few on our side, and it's always in hushed whispers because, you know, but then they talk about the transition, and it's so easy to manage government when the tailwinds are behind you, when everyone's like excited and they're like, man, we're going to all be on the same team. That's how the Democrats deal with it. Mm-hmm. So they have fewer troubles, and they have much easier because the ship and the winds are going in their direction. With us, it's just recalcitrance at every turn. And as a matter of our constitutional government, as the president, and as, you know, the chief executive, mm-hmm. you know, just the way the statutes are laid out, it's the case that people should be politically responsive. As Reagan said, and he didn't start it, but he popularized personnel as policy, and we learned that in spades in the last administration, even on our own side. If you don't have the right people, they're going to be weak, they're going to be half-assed about it, or they're going to be outright hostile and drag their feet.
Yeah, even just the inertia of trying to, of having them not move swiftly. You know, if they're doing what yeah. they want, if yeah. it's their agenda, they're busting their butts and mm-hmm. they're doing a good job. If it's our agenda, they're like, you know, I get a, don't I have a union break?
It's COVID. It's COVID right now. I'll get back to you in 10 weeks. I'm
everything.
Not in the office. Yeah.
But the idea that now, if we implement Schedule F and that becomes the ruling regulation, then whoever is president has the right to go more echelons down into the actual action areas and put people there who will do what the people who elected that president want
yeah.
done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's do that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a no-brainer. And honestly, it's one of those things that, you know, when we had those civil service EOs come out at the very beginning, you know, I ran an event at the Scalia Law School where I was at the time, and James Shirk, who was a former co-author and colleague of mine at Heritage, he keynoted it. And, you know, we had the union people come there. And a lot of these union people were happy about it because they like incentive pay. They like rewarding good behavior, at least at an abstract level. The difficulty is you're dealing with many bad actors. And when someone does something like Peter Strzok or whomever, or someone gets their, you know, pension stripped and then the Biden admin just gives it back to them or whatever. So I think,
and then the only people who could hold them accountable are their friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we've got recourse to go to. Okay, you do something bad, you get caught, you know, like Stroke or Sussman or any of these other clowns, and then the people who are supposed to prosecute them don't really want to and have to be drug kicking and screaming to do that. And then the people who, you know, prepare the case are not going to do a good job. And then if it happened here, they're going to face a DC jury.
Two things on that. One, I've always thought, you know, that, let me just say this. Go ahead. I apologize.
I just think if we are doing what this gives us the power then to do, we may be able to hold some of these bad actors accountable.
Yeah.
Some of them we just boot.
Yeah.
Some of them, though, I think it's, you know, pour encourager l'autre. My French is atrocious, but to encourage the others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to scare them into better behavior, and that way we don't have to clear out everybody. But at least we clear out the worst ones, and then everybody's kind of like, maybe I shouldn't be doing that.
As
anymore.
Mao said, and it was, you know, shoot the monkey to scare the chickens is another way to put it, right?
Nice. Yeah. I like when we can culturally appropriate commie garbage to go ahead and use.
So my first point to go back to it is I do think that there was a stolen election, and it was actually probably 2016 in some ways.
Wow.
Right? Because everything was so hamstrung and from the get-go.
So we got the president in, but we didn't get the administration we deserved because everybody had to spend all their time fighting the deep state.
And a lot of that was our fault, certainly. So I hope we do a better job next time. And certainly the org that we've set up is going to be instrumental in that. Everybody's read in on our side in the movement. We're all rowing in the same direction, I think.
And that is Personnel Policy Operations, personnelpolicyops.org. Ops.org. And I applaud you guys. And you're also saying you're talking with the other groups who are working in the same arena.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what I've always seen as a difficulty on our team is everybody wants to be lead dog. You know, and nobody's willing to just strap in and pull the damn sled.
The great thing is by the end of the admin, it was really hard. You know, we had these fusionist sort of establishment, corporate, Chamber of Commerce, Republicans, and there was a scramble and blah, 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 and that was all bad. And, you know, our org has all the transition materials. Like, no one else has the stuff that we have. It was bad. But by the end of the administration, we had collected, and John McEntee, to his credit, and James Bacon, and all these other people had collected, I think, the most competent, serious people, and a lot of them were very young, with no egos, a lot of them, which is great. So, you know, Paul Danz over at Heritage, heading their transition project, I was his direct report. He was my liaison to OPM. Mike Regas was a longtime Heritage colleague, and then I was the one, and we advanced him to be the acting at OPM. You know, they've since hired deputies who are, you know, good friends or former staff, and nobody has an ego, and we're all just like, let's all just do it together. Let's not overlap.
Yeah.
And let's just make sure that the movement's working.
It's music to my ears because we cannot afford to let them run the game because they cheat. Mm-hmm. They cheat like dogs. Andrew Kloster, General Counsel for Personnel Policy Operations, making sure our team has somebody watching their back. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Dr. G. We will be back after the break to talk a little bit about some bad guys getting caught about Hunter Biden's laptop.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.